Welcome to the Brooks Rehabilitation Podcast. My name is Tracy Davis. I am actually not joined by Michelle this week. I am actually recording from my home podcast setup. Since today is March 30th that we were recording this, so we actually are still under quarantine. Who knows when you might be listening to this down the road. We hope you are able to listen to this episode while things are still crazy with this COVID-19 pandemic. As of, I think, Friday, the president has extended the quarantine for the United States to April 30th, so we're still in this weird state of living for a little bit longer. But this week we had on Drs. Russ Addio and Sarah Leahy, psychologists at Brooks. We wanted to have them on to just give a little bit of insight and help as to what we can do to stay sane during these crazy times with family and finances. And we also talked about the Brooks for Brooks program, which is an internal program for our employees to take advantage of to help ease some anxieties and have a professional to talk to. So I'll let them explain that. And I really want to thank them for coming on. We had a limited amount of time to talk with them. I think I tried to get as many questions in there as I could. I had to record this over the phone, so the quality of their end isn't going to be as great, but I think it's still audible, so it should be fine. But on behalf of Brooks, I just wanted to say a big thank you to every single one of our employees that are still continuing to work hard to take care of our patients and keep them safe, keep them secure, keep them entertained. We have an inpatient hospital where we have patients in our care. We have skilled nursing facility, assisted living facilities, where we have people in our care, which means we have a lot of our employees that are still out there working and not being home with their families as much. So we thank you so much for the extra time that you're taking, and I'm sure you're picking up extra shifts and all that. And this extends to every single hospital in the greater Jacksonville area, to all of our healthcare partners. We thank you so much for all the hard work that you're doing. I know that there's a lot of moving and shifting that's having to be done, and all of the different hospitals in our area are working out to help one another in whatever way that we can. So just a big thank you to every single healthcare worker that are really shining a light on the healthcare industry right now and how important the work that we do is. Not just at Brooks, but everyone that has decided to take on a profession to help others. And that includes us, like myself, who are non-clinical. We don't touch patients, but we're all of it, like our whole marketing department. We're all doing things like calling and scheduling virtual visits for family members of people in our care. And, the work has not slowed down too much since there's so much more to be picked up. And we have a lot of clinicians who aren't able to see patients, like in our outpatient settings. We have physical therapists that are at our inpatient facility doing scanning and stuff like that to make sure everyone's safe to come in the building. So people that are really shifting their job roles and just picking up in another place and just keeping things moving along. And all that is going to go a long way whenever we finally get through whatever this pandemic is. So anyway, let's get into the podcast. Sorry for rambling there. I want to thank Dr. Leahy and Dr. Addio for taking the time out to come on and answer these questions. I think it was really helpful. Let's get right into the podcast. Thank you guys for joining us for this special Brooks podcast. I really appreciate you taking out the time. I know you guys are really busy. And maybe if we just do a very short introduction of who you are. So Dr. Leahy, would you like to start?
Sure. I'm Dr. Sarah Leahy. I am a neuropsychologist at Brooks Rehab, and I'm also the manager of psychological services. And I've been at Brooks now for over 7 years.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Russell Addio. I'm a neuropsychologist and the director of behavioral medicine. And I've been here about 25 years, getting on 26 years now.
Again, thank you guys for being here. Let's start off by talking about the really innovative program that Brooks is doing, and you guys specifically with the Brooks for Brooks program. So if you wouldn't mind, Dr. Leahy, explaining what that is.
Sure. So as psychologists, we are passionate about helping others. And in this time of uncertainty and increased stress, it's more important than ever to be supporting others, and especially our fellow coworkers, as we're on the front lines, whether or not we're still coming into the hospital and engaging in patient care, or working indirectly through Zoom or other mechanisms now that we are learning how to operate. We wanted to provide a service so that we can help support those in need of working on some coping strategies, having the opportunity to vent about all of these new roles that we're taking on, also to talk through some of their fears related to the pandemic or just some of the changes that are going on day to day that are affecting us all. So we launched Brooks for Brooks, which is a really innovative mechanism to get our support services out to our coworkers. And we have a number of different platforms in which we're doing this. One of them is offering individual Zoom kind of consultation support sessions directly with our psychologists here on staff. And then we are also doing bi-weekly support groups that any staff members can join by Zoom and jump on, and we'll be practicing some different relaxation strategies, some mindfulness and other coping strategies, and also just providing a forum for us all to connect in this time where we're not having a lot of opportunities to do so.
And then I think what I would also add, the two other elements of it to Sarah are that we're also, you know, having the bi-weekly emails we're going to send out to, you know, with information about strategies to manage stress, as well as this podcast. If you think about this as one way of communicating, maybe do another one in the future about to the staff about that, you know, trying to find ways to help them, support them through this very stressful time of our lives.
Great. I mean, it sounds like a fantastic program, especially since, you know, we're having a lot of clinicians all over the organization, as well as other healthcare companies are doing the same, where they're kind of reprioritizing what they're focusing on if they can't see patients. So I think this is a fantastic way of you guys kind of turning inward instead of just external with patients. Because I'm sure that there's a lot of our employees that are really going through different things mentally right now, and having a expert like you guys there to reach out to is probably really reassuring.
One of the things, Tracy, that I think about is that, you know, this is not therapy that we're doing with staff. It's not going to be that we're going to develop psychotherapy, but it's more like this, just looking at it from the perspective that this is, everybody's anxious. I mean, I think it's just a normal emotion you're going to experience because, well, I mean, who here has been through a pandemic?
Right.
Nobody, you know? And so anxiety is kind of expected, that there's going to be an anxiety provoking situation. And this is really just an attempt, our attempt to just help our fellow staff members who we care about, to help them deal with it as best they can, to cope, if you will.
It's so Brooks, like it's such a Brooks thing to me, you know, of just really taking care of its employees and really using all of our resources to best help everyone that we possibly can. So I think it's fantastic.
Thanks. We're really excited.
How can people take advantage of it? Have you guys set up that infrastructure yet of how people can reach out and set up sessions with you?
We have. So we have our very own email address. It is COVIDstressSupport, all one word, @brooksrehab.org. And anyone in the organization can email that. And we have people manning that email, and we'll be in touch as far as ever their need is, whether it's setting up an individual session or just some extra resources, or you know, having some suggestions for other ways that we can implement our services. It's just a great way for all staff to get in touch with us.
So it is an internal program just for our employees, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is.
I'm sure you guys will be seeing that the emails coming in will be from a Brooks email address, so that's easy to find out.
Absolutely. Right. And then there was an email that announced it when Doug sent out his email to everybody.
Right.
And then one of the items there was that. And then I think that this podcast will help announce it a little bit. And I think you also want to keep an eye out. Staff should keep an eye out for the survey. We're just in the midst of trying to finalize the survey, just to ask about what things are particularly stressful. And so we can get a better idea about, you know, what are the things that are the major causes of stress.
Sure.
And, you know, and then whether or not they would take advantage of that. So that's another way of informing them about some of the things, some of the service we're going to provide.
Excellent. And I know we only have about 15 minutes, so let's get through some questions here. So just starting off, like, Dr. Leahy, what are some things that you've been noticing that people seem the most stressed out about during this time with this pandemic?
I think that, you know, there's some general buckets that the stressors would fall in currently. One of them is just the change in roles that we all have. You know, not only are we now, for many of us, we're not just continuing as employees fulfilling our work duties, but for many of us with children, the schools are closed. And so now we're juggling being full-time parents and teachers, which any of you all that have, you know, attempted to sit down and work on your schoolwork with your children, my heart is with you. It's challenging. It really makes me appreciate the teachers that we have. So whether you're, you know, still working and being a parent, a teacher, juggling schedules with a significant other and, you know, vying for time to be working from home or coming into the office, there's just a lot of role changes and a lot of demands on all of us right now. And then, you know, that's really coupled with a sincere fear. As Dr. Audio said, you know, we've never been in a pandemic before. We've never experienced this. And so there's a lot of information out there from the news, from different social media sites, and it can be really overwhelming to digest all of that and to really know where the information is coming from and is it a trustworthy resource. And so trying to navigate and develop your own narrative that has facts about the pandemic and, you know, keeping in sync with the best practices as far as what we're doing day to day behaviorally to follow the guidelines that CDC has put out or other entities have put out. It's just a lot to manage that we're certainly not prepared for this on many levels, but yet as humans, I think we often underestimate how resilient we can be in times like this. And even if it's stressful, I do believe that we all have the ability to get through this and to, you know, come out on the other end of it. Sometimes it can just be hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Sure. Dr. Adia, what have you been noticing in the general anxieties?
The biggest thing, I think, is really just to, you know, right at whether or not people fear they're going to get the disease.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whether or not it's a communicable disease. And, you know, we're learning more about it. But it's, you know, there's that fear and the fear of family members getting it. And then, then there's the lack of, you know, personal protective equipment that we have. So they then defend it off, if you will. And I'd say that those are, you know, to me, one of the reasons I put several of those items on the questionnaire that we're going to send out the survey is just really, I do think that's what I'm hearing is people are just apprehension about, you know, what to be expected. And then, you know, fear of dying. I mean, wonder whether or not sure. This is going to cause their demise. Now, it's unlikely. I mean, just statistically unlikely. You know, there are ways to control this. And there are, at least we know we're getting a better idea that it is really, it's your hands and touching your face. It's your hands are the main, your route of mechanism by getting it. So, you know, we talk about things like, you know, Tracy, that are, you know, psychologists, we're trying to control, you know, the things that are within our control and the things that are not in our control. And so it's like you want to try to, you know, spend your energy and your time and your efforts on that first column, which is basically doing the things you can control,
right.
Doing something with the things you can control and not necessarily spend a lot of time on things you can't. So when you're dealing with this, it's one way to kind of help manage that a little
sure.
bit.
Sure. That's really helpful because it kind of takes a whole side of the bucket out of your mind. So you don't even have to worry about, you know, it's there, but you're focusing on what you do have the ability to change. So that's great advice. Let's do some kind of rapid fire stuff. We'll get through some of these since we're getting low on time. Financial, what would you guys recommend about financial stressors? I'm assuming some of what Dr. Adio just said about focusing on what you can control, but you know, there is a lot of financial strain right now on people, depending on different situations, but what advice would you give for that?
Well, I mean, I would say that there's two levels there. One is like the day-to-day finances and the concerns about, you know, having enough money to pay the bills and things like that. If you're being laid off of work or you have less hours or, you know, meaning, you know, they're an internal Brooks employee, there may be different situations people have. So I think that, you know, the way to manage that obviously is really just think about what your finances are, and try to obviously know that it's going to be limited. There's going to be a limited amount of time it's going to be happening, try to ration whatever you do have. But I think there's also the financial issues of, you know, the bigger finances, your retirement monies and things like that. When looking at your 401k or your 403b, that people are concerned about. And my advice is really not to give financial advice, but to say that I think that people need to talk to their financial advisor or talk to someone about, you know, that that knows about stocks and knows about things like that and knows what the prudent strategy is in a situation like this, which is pretty unprecedented.
Sure. But
absolutely.
I feel like, and to make a pretty easy prediction, I feel like after this whole thing is over, it seems like maybe people will stop focusing so much on the consumerism that we all think about, you know, getting a new car every couple of years and all those kind of things, and focus more on maybe building up our emergency funds and things like that too. I think there's going to be a big shift after this pandemic has calmed down. And the way that people choose to spend their money, I think it's going to give people a whole new perspective.
I agree. Yeah, this has been it's been interesting just from a social scientist perspective and thinking about what the impact of this pandemic is having on so many different levels. Definitely financially, but then also just how we interact with one another too, and right. and the relationships that we have with each other, whether it's coworkers or colleagues or friends or loved ones, and then just what it means to us to have those social interactions. And I think, you know, depending on who you are, some people may find it welcoming, while others may really have a hard time with having that isolation. I know I am a pretty social person, and I find that that's a huge chunk of my life that is empty now. And looking to find ways to fulfill that, it can be hard.
It's funny, like I grew up here in Jacksonville my entire life, and then, you know, I was very complacent with having the beach just right down the road, and I never really go that much. But now that I can't go, I want to go because it's an outdoor thing that I can do. I can go walk on the beach, but now they shut them down as of we're recording this in late March. We can't go on the beach like a lot of other coastal towns. So it's very interesting. Let's talk really quick about family. Dr. Adia, what would you give any examples for people that are, we're having to be a lot closer to our family members that maybe we're a little used to having those 8 hours apart? Not that we don't still love them, but we also like to have our space and have our own time. But now we're having to work from home and be really close to them, even kids. What kind of anxieties do you see playing around that, and what advice would you give?
The first advice, don't kill each other.
good tip. Let me write that down.
I mean, you know, I think that there really are some real stressors that go along with it, because, I mean, you're in a tight space and or relatively the size of your house, and that you're, you know, not normally interacting with all the kids there at the same time. I mean, I think that it's a matter of setting boundaries. It's a matter of setting, you know, like a schedule. It's a matter of, you know, people, you know, in terms of noise and other things like that, setting some rules regarding that. There's also planning enjoyable activities or planning some type of, you know, family activity. You know, so like my sister, she has all the boys home, and she just, you know, they would make a puzzle. They had this big Elvis puzzle they were doing, and she has different things, and she's a teacher, so she basically feels comfortable doing that. But she's established clear boundaries about what they do and what they do with their time. They do exercise, they take activities. But, bottom line, it is a real stressor. I'm hearing about it personally, and also hearing about it, you know, in the news too, that you know, everybody, even divorce lawyers are having increased calls because people are really having stress in their marital relationships. And so I guess my best response is to just be, you know, try to establish your boundaries, you know, try to have, an explicit conversation around how you're not going to bump into each other, how you're going to have some type of structure and some structure to the day, and then what do some enjoyable activities.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Dr. Leahy?
I agree with that, absolutely. In hearing you talk, Dr. Cardio, it makes me think of this meme that I saw yesterday, and it said, if if the 33 Chilean miners could survive trapped in a small cave for 90 days, we can survive COVID quarantining.
Yeah.
But then someone put a comment underneath it that said, but their wives weren't with them. And I just thought that was pretty funny, you know, and it's the truth. It's hard. But one thing to keep in mind too, is that a lot of times the stress and the disharmony, if you will, it comes from a lot of anxiety and just and anxiety related to change and surrounding that piece. And so allowing others to, including ourselves, to process and to share our worries and to find ways to express those emotions, whether it's sadness, fear, anxiety, maybe happiness, because you really are an introvert and you don't want to talk to people. Right. But any way to help find a way to express those. And I think for children, that's particularly challenging. I know my 4 and my 6-year-old know that, okay, things are really different right now, but they don't really know how to explain how it's different and how they feel about it. But yet behaviorally, I can see the changes come out through, you know, increased tantrums or defiance, when really, if we take a step back and talk about it, it's a really confusing time for them. And it's a really confusing time for everybody. And so the more patience that we can have as we're approaching some of these challenges, the better off we'll be.
I've only got a few more questions left. So we talked about Family Financial, the Brooks for Brooks program, which is fantastic. There's some articles going around about how, kind of answering the question a little bit of why everyone feels extra tired, even though we haven't been doing as much. We've been sitting at home, mostly trying to do home workouts and, you know, go for runs and whatever we can do, but mostly we're not as active as we had been, even just, you know, walking throughout our office buildings or doing whatever our job is. Mm-hmm. And there's something called like the trauma response, I believe is what these articles are saying. Do you guys have any insight on that?
Yeah, I can start out. I mean, I think that, you know, I was reading an article last night where it was about whether or not people are going through the stages of grief, kind of, this, you know, denial mm-hmm. that Kubler-Ross talks about. And there really are not stages that are distinct like that. But they talked about how people go through this kind of trauma response of first kind of a denial about what happened. Is this really that serious? And then kind of like a fear, anger kind of reaction. And then there's kind of bargaining and then eventually acceptance of it. But people can have a kind of trauma or stress response, which is their body is almost driving and running, you know, and they're mentally and physically, even though we're not as physically active, the stress of the worry about it can actually cause, you know, your immune system to be on hyperdrive. And you almost become, you know, become very tired and fatigued, like this cortisol is the nerve, the chemical that basically gets released when you get stressed, and that can cause you to have this kind of fatigue kind of reaction, and that is and that's a real phenomenon, and it actually can lead you to get colds and things like that. I wouldn't necessarily jump to say it makes you more susceptible to COVID, but it certainly lowers your immune system down when that's something like that happens.
Right. And then just really quickly on the parental side of things, thank you guys again for your time. I know we're at the end of our time. School functions being canceled, graduations being canceled, senior trips. And then there's teachers that are having to transition into teaching all virtually. I mean, I know that they're going to have to learn a whole new way of doing those things, but just a lot of the shifts is thinking more along the line of our parents that are out there. And you guys touched on it already a little bit, but what advice what anxieties are you seeing out there about that? And what advice would you give to parents and teachers trying to transition right now?
Be patient with yourself and know that it takes time. And there's no perfect way to transition because it's never been done before. And I think that one thing that I am finding some comfort in, and I know others that I work with are as well, is that these truly are unprecedented times. And in a way, it's kind of exciting to think about that we are setting our own precedents now. And we are really charting a new path and setting some new protocol for something that we've never experienced and hopefully never will have to experience again. However, I think, you know, just knowing what we know, it's probably unlikely that nothing like this will ever happen again. And so we're really arming ourselves with some skills to apply to the future. And so just be patient.
When it comes to being a teacher and changing your role or being a parent, it really is a matter of trying to deal with things as, you know, calmly, rationally as you can, you know, without letting emotion. It's really, as Sarah recommends, Dr. Leahy, that you want to recognize your emotion. Don't deny it. Don't try to deny that you're having it, mm-hmm. if it's anxiety or whatever it is, but try to deal with things with the facts that are in front of you as best you can. And that means trying to figure out the best pathway possible. It is unprecedented what we're dealing with.
Right.
So it's going to have to develop, you know, the most rational, you know, method of dealing with your kids at home and teaching them and trying to get the school engaged in that. I mean, you get engaged with the school. And then also if you're a teacher, is to, you know, learn the new things you need to learn, like all of us are doing right now, too.
Get really good at Zoom. Yeah.
And never underestimate the power of experiential learning, which is just go out there and do it and hold on tight.
Well, and never underestimate the power of humor too, Tracy. I mean, there's just been a mass amount of memes that are really hilarious too.
One of the best things of this time, I don't know if you guys have seen Tiger King yet on Netflix, but my wife and I watched that. I think it was the first night it came out, and it was right when all the quarantining started happening. And boy, they couldn't have launched a show like that at a better time. So all the memes that have been going on like that has been one of the best things. But my unprofessional advice that I've been telling myself is that cities and people have lived their lives, cultures, but way before we have all of the conveniences that we have now. Not that all the things we have now in society is wrong, but human nature is just get used to what we have, like the school system and all that kind of stuff, and such an amazing healthcare system. But people, you know, people are fighters, and we've survived much more than this, you know, in years past. So we're going to be fine.
And I think that I'll end it with, you know, one of my sisters sent me in a meme this morning, and she says, related to like all the conveniences we have, she said, I'm as bored as an Amish electrician. And so
that's hilarious. That's very true. I find myself getting bored, even though I'm a big technology guy and I've got a million things I could play with here at my house. But I find myself just wanting to, I actually went out for a walk yesterday, and I never do that.
Yeah.
Well, I know we're a little over time, so thank you guys so much for being on the podcast. And we might have to have you back on it in some point, because as of right now, it sounds like we're through April 30th going to be the nation of the United States is going to be on some sort of quarantine. So we might have you guys back on at another time. But thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. No, you're welcome, Tracy.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tracy. Take care.
Stay safe.